With the help of many volunteers and generous people, Father Doug Dusan and Sister Kathleen Pittman have been rebuilding their flooded church and bringing it back to life. But it's a different life than the church had before Katrina, as we're about to hear. St. Gabriel the Archangel Catholic Church is located in the Gentilly section of New Orleans and serves Gentilly and Pontchartrain Park, subdivisions made up primarily of African-American homeowners, many of them elderly. Last Sunday, 300 people showed up for St. Gabriel's Katrina anniversary service. That's about half the number of parishioners the church had before Katrina. But most of the people who did show up came from a distance and have not moved back to the neighborhood, at least not yet. That neighborhood is still pretty devastated. Father Doug is the pastor of St. Gabriel's. Sister Kathleen is the pastoral associate. Father Doug, Sister Kathleen, welcome to Fresh Air. Now, your church is operating again, but what's around it? What does the surrounding neighborhood look like? Have people come back to the community?
We have a number of parishioners who are living in FEMA trailers on their front lawn. We have a number of others who are living in their homes, but mostly on the second floor, because the first floor was, of course, the part that was devastated. But they have electricity and air conditioning, and they're slowly remodeling their first floor. In where my rectory is, where my residence is, the side street, there are five homes that were completely demolished, and they're simply open lots. And it really got to me yesterday. I'd been out of town for a week. Both of us had been on vacation. And when I returned, I noticed my neighbor right across the street, her house was gone, and it was an empty lot. And that kind of did something to me.
Do you feel like it's part of your job to help fight discouragement and despair and give a sense of optimism? And is it hard for you to do that?
Yes, we feel that's our job. And yes, it is hard to do it because both of us are struggling with our own depression over the whole situation. And the fact that where Sister Kathleen lives, that house was destroyed. And the rectory where I lived was also destroyed. And we lost a lot of our possessions. So we have our own struggle going on. And yet we know for so many people this represents their whole life's work that's been washed away by the flood.
Is that why you're doing this? I mean, I could make the argument that you would both be better off moving someplace else.
You're correct.
Well, depends on what you mean. Yes, physically we would be. But I know for myself, I can only say how I felt at the beginning. Of course, I've had very many moments of second thoughts about it because it is depressing many times and very difficult to do. But I've felt from the beginning that this is what I had to do, you know, to be there and to do whatever I could to help the parishioners as long as they wanted it, as long as they felt like they wanted to come back. And we don't always know what that is. We're not always sure we're doing the right thing. And it's often very difficult to do.
When do you become not sure you're doing the right thing? What are those moments of doubt like?
When I drive through the neighborhood and I see so many homes that have been cleaned out and gutted, but there's no other activity going on there. There doesn't seem to be any attempt to rebuild or to come back. So I don't know what those families are thinking. And when I see homes demolished and empty lots, I'm wondering what percentage of our community will return. And are we making a mistake by encouraging people to come back, rebuild their homes, reestablish their lives there? I wonder sometimes.
Let's go back 1 year ago. Where were each of you when the hurricane hit, and what was your day like?
Well, each of us left on Saturday. The hurricane hit on Monday. We left on Saturday because they began the announcements of a mandatory evacuation of Lower Plaquemine and St. Bernard parishes, civil parishes. And then they had the volunteer evacuation of Jefferson Parish and a volunteer evacuation of New Orleans. And I think the handwriting was on the wall. They were going to soon declare it mandatory, and the highways were going to be packed. So we decided to close the church on Saturday afternoon and evacuate. And I went to Baton Rouge, to St. Jean Vianney Parish, and Sister Kathleen also went to Baton Rouge to stay with some fellow religious sisters.
And we encouraged our parishioners to also evacuate. Many of them feel, this is not really going to happen. We don't want to get in that traffic. We're going to come back in 2 or 3 days. We're just going to stay and ride it out. Thank goodness most of them did not decide that, but some did.
How high were the water levels in your neighborhood?
Our two subdivisions are on a decline or a slant toward the lake. And so as you enter the first subdivision of Gentilly Woods, the water would have been 3 feet deep. In the middle of that subdivision, it would be 5 feet. Toward the back of that subdivision, where the parish plant is, it was 8 feet deep. Then as you go back further to Pontchartrain Park, it was up to the roof. It was 11, 12 feet deep. Then, of course, when the land gets to the lake, it comes back up, and those right along the lake or the river, of course, were protected. So we have a sloping land there, and so the water got deeper the deeper you went into each of the subdivisions.
Were any of your parishioners drowned in the hurricane?
Two of our men who refused to leave. Their families begged them to leave, and they refused to. And two of them were drowned. And we had one other parishioner who died of heat exhaustion in one of the nursing homes where she was properly cared for, but they had lost power and lost the air conditioning. And so she died of heat exhaustion, I guess.
When were you able to come back and see your church for the first time after the storm?
It was 5 weeks. The water stayed 3 weeks. The mayor would not let us back in for 5 weeks. So we came back, Sister Kathleen and I and the maintenance man, drove back into the subdivision 5 weeks after the storm. And two of the things we noticed immediately was this thick gray film of mud that covered everything. It was not nice water, you know, that flooded us. It was filthy water. And the second thing we noticed was the silence. There were no children playing, no adults talking. There was not one other car in the neighborhood. We were the only car that drove in at that time. And it was just complete silence. And it just seemed to shout to us, the mud and the silence, there was just no way to bring life back to this community and to this parish. And yet, that was not true.
Because everything in your homes and in the church was ruined, you had to throw probably nearly everything you owned, you had to throw away.
Right.
Now, you are both clergy. I mean, you're supposed to transcend attachment to material things. Nevertheless, I'm sure there are things that you were quite attached to and really, really valued for physical or personal or, you know, emotional reasons. What were the hardest things for you to lose in the hurricane?
Well, for me, the hardest thing were my books. I had a library of about 700 or 800 books, and it wasn't so much the loss of the books, but I developed the practice about 10 years ago of putting notes on the back blank pages of the books, referring to different page numbers where I found a particularly interesting insight or fact. And so I must have had about 200 books that had these notes in the back of them. So the pain for me was not just losing the book, but losing all those notes, because I could find whatever I wanted in any of those books very quickly by looking at the notes in the back of the book.
Has there been any advantage in not having that to rely on?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, sometimes when you don't have the things that you're accustomed to having, you have to invent new ways of doing it, and sometimes that results in something good.
I don't think I've found that new way yet.
Right.
I think I might still be looking. I'm mostly mourning what I lost.
I hear you. Do you feel that your faith has been tested in the past year?
Yes, I would say so. There were moments, I guess, for me at first that I felt sometimes, you know, where is God in all this? And that God was sort of not causing any of this, I don't believe that. But, God, where are you? You know, are you just watching this on the sidelines? And I think when we started coming back and beginning to get a lot of assistance as well as meeting again with our parishioners and to hear them say, people who had been through much more difficult circumstances than I was, we know God is with us. We know in spite of losing all their possessions, many cases their loved ones, that their faith was still strong. Their faith was still there and a rock. And I tell you, that has been a great blessing to me in strengthening my own faith.
I guess I would say something of the same thing. I guess I've gone through periods where I've gotten very depressed over the whole situation and wondered how in the world this could have possibly happened. The disaster is just so unprecedented. It's so extensive. It's so deep. It's so all-encompassing. It's just hard to imagine anything being so so enormous. And so I guess that's really, I've struggled with that, and I've searched for God in the midst of that. And I think it's true, it's Kathleen said, that seeing parishioners who have lost more than I have, who maintain such a strong faith, and they will say in the midst of this, well, I know that God is still with me. I lost all these things, but I know God is still with me, and I know God's going to take care of me. And those would be some of the things they would say, and I just found that so encouraging.
In those moments when you have your doubts, do you try to keep those private, or do you share any of those doubts with your parishioners?
I've occasionally shared in my homilies some of my struggles with the parishioners. I've shared it more with friends, but yeah, I guess I've shared it sometimes.
Yes.
And what happens when someone in your parish comes to you and confesses that they feel maybe they're losing their faith because things have gotten so unimaginably bad?
I think that they feel we are part of this. You know, we're not above this. We are not feeling so faith-filled that we don't question God or question the situation. I think they, one of the consolations for them is that we're human just like they are. We've suffered just like they're suffering, and we're all in this together. And I think that is a strengthening thing for them, and I know it is for me in my relationship with them.
Let's end with something that you consider a genuine sign of hope, the kind of thing that you hang on to when you're having your doubts.
I think when we gather for worship on Sunday and there are 250, 300 people there, many of whom have driven in from maybe an hour, 45 minutes or an hour to be there, and we sing and we pray and there's such strong fellowship. The sign of peace, which is part of our liturgy, where people greet one another with the peace of Christ, sometimes goes on for 5 or 10 minutes and expresses the kind of bond that's there. I think when we're gathered together as a community and we're worshiping together, to me, that is a great sign of hope, because it's sort of saying, number one, nobody is in this alone. We're in this together, and we're here to support each other. And it's also saying we believe that God is with us and that Christ is in our midst, and he will help us find a way to restore our homes and our lives.
When I hear someone who's almost 80 years old, who is a widow and who lived alone before Katrina in a very nice home, when I see she's living in her FEMA trailer and I hear her say, I'm rebuilding. Of course I'm going to rebuild. In fact, I'm not only rebuilding the house the way it was, I wanted to make some changes in it. And so she is expanding her home And she is after those contractors to be there and to do what they said they were supposed to do. She's a woman 80 years old. And to have that kind of hope and that kind of faith and that kind of spirit is what gives me hope and faith and spirit.
It sounds like a lot of the people coming to your church now are parishioners, but they're no longer living within the actual parish. They're coming from their new homes. How is that changing the nature of the church to have this almost, you know, like commuting relationship with the parishioners? It's more of like a destination church for a lot of the people.
I think we will know better as time goes on how this will affect us, because up to now we have not had a lot of the different ministry groups or committees meeting. We haven't had the Parish School of Religion, which met every Sunday. So now we're trying to get that started again, and whether or not people will feel like coming back a distance on an evening or on a Saturday, we'll find out, you know, whether that will be the case.
I wonder sometimes if people relocate in the surrounding areas of New Orleans, like some of our parishioners already have, but still come to St. Gabriel for church, whether that's going to get old after a while and whether they're going to stop traveling that distance to come to church. However, we started in February, and this is August, and some of them, they've been doing it for the past 5 or 6 months. And so I think it's a sign of their sense of solidarity with the rest of the congregation.
It sounds like your church is going to keep evolving as post-Katrina New Orleans evolves, and you'll probably have functions within the community you haven't even thought of yet.
I think that's going to be true.
Well, I want to thank you both very much, and I wish you good luck and good health in your rebuilding. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Terry.
Father Doug Dusan is the pastor of St. Gabriel the Archangel Church in the Gentilly section of New Orleans. Sister Kathleen Pittman is the associate pastor.